I want to do a practice that is working more with the subtle body, with the winds, and tap into some imagination. Okay, and then, so we'll go from there. So I'm going to give you a little bit of guidance, and this will be about 10 minutes, I think. And also, I just want to name that our practices have been fairly short on purpose. And they're meant to be short on purpose so that you can digest them and use them when you need them. So, and also because, you know, if you came in feeling anxious, you're not going to want to sit for 45 minutes and then walk for 20 and then 45 minutes and walk. You might not be up for that. So there is that part too. Okay. So generally speaking, when we're using our imagination, it's a little easier. It's supported just a bit more by closing the eyes, but you don't have to. And if your body is feeling a little funky right now and you want to lie down, you can. But I just want to remind you that if you lie down and go to sleep, then you've just paid for something that you won't remember. Of course, we're recording it, but... okay, so just be comfortable. You can sit in a chair, cushion. You can lie down if you need. If your body is not feeling well, then certainly you can lie down. And we will be doing a lying down posture, but I just want us to digest a little more before we do that. Okay. So check in and just notice how you're feeling. It might be a little bit more weight to your body because of the food that you ate. And that can be helpful. And then notice where you feel your breath. Just check into that little area for a moment to acknowledge your breath as it is. And then I'd like you to imagine your favorite place to be in nature. That could be, for instance, at the beach, on the mountains, in a forest, a field, a desert. What's the most nourishing and nurturing natural environment that you have been in or you like to be in? And just picture yourself there for a moment. And notice if you're sitting or standing or lying down in the environment that you're picturing. Just notice your body in that particular landscape. And notice if it's warm or cool or dry or moist. Sunny or not sunny. You picture as many details as you can. And if there are scents, some smells and scents that are part of the environment that you're in, see if you can kind of remember those smells. And then notice, remember, let's say, a place in your body that you tend to feel anxiety, either in the moment, afterwards, before, whenever you can sense it. What gets tight or what feels uncomfortable? What area of your body does anxiety tend to hang out in or leave a residue in or contract, have some sort of repercussion in when you, especially when you start to feel it? What gets a little tense in anticipation? Identify a place, and you might have a number of them, but just pick one. And then imagine that you can breathe in the breeze, the atmosphere of the place you find nourishing and nurturing, like a wind, like a breeze, whatever it might smell like or feel like, and that you can breathe that environment in, that natural environment, right into the place in your body that you sense might need a little restoration or healing or softness or space, some kindness, some rejuvenation. So bring in the breeze from the ocean, the wind over the mountaintops, the breeze through the forest trees, the air off the desert. Bring it in. Bring it to that place in your body. Pause and allow it to absorb. And then breathe it out so that it carries out what is no longer needed in that area anymore. And that could be feelings or thoughts, physical tensions. And then pause for a moment. Take a moment, rest, and then imagine breathing in the wind or the breeze again and taking it to that place specifically, holding it like a bubble, very gently, very tenderly. Allow it to be absorbed in your pause, and then when you need to, breathe out and let it go. Breathing out is a release of whatever is no longer helping you anymore. And if you are not resonating with the nature image, you can breathe in a color, or you can breathe in light, or you can just breathe directly. Because if you imagine breathing somewhere, your mind is moving to that place. Your awareness is being carried on the wings of your breath. Your heart goes along with it. And so, wherever you imagine you're breathing, you're directing your consciousness, your energy, your qi, your lung, your mind, your consciousness, your awareness, whatever you want to think of it as. So, breathing in and restoring, renewing, absorbing. Breathing out, letting go, and resting. And go back to what you're imagining over and over and over again, if it's fallen or dropped away, by picturing yourself in that place, that landscape, and beginning again. Just for a few minutes. Power of intention, the power of the mind. Brought together with the body and the heart. The sky is the limit. Infinite possibilities. Breathing in. taking it somewhere on purpose, intentionally, to work with your body, your heart, and your mind. Pausing, absorbing, taking in, receiving, and then exhaling and letting go, removing, releasing, and then resting. Allowing all the components of nature, outer nature, to meld and blend with inner nature, because we are made of all the same elements. Air, light, earth, space. Metal. Solid, not solid. Seen, unseen. One more. Really full breeze, wind, breath. Pause and hold it as long as you can without too much stress, or any stress really. And then release one more time when you're ready. And then allow your breath to return to whatever it wants to be, wherever it wants to be. And rest your attention there for a moment. Now allow your next breath to be a little fuller again. And after a complete exhale, whenever that happens for you, allow your eyes to slowly open. And don't move your body quite yet. Just keep the body still. Eyes are opened, gaze is soft, and then slowly, slowly lift your gaze. Don't move your body yet, but just lift your gaze up here, allowing the eyes to receive sight, outer form, light, color, shapes, and slowly look around. And then close your eyes again and feel inside. Just notice the inner landscape for a moment. Just touch back in. And then open the eyes again, slowly look out. And then ultimately, what we're going to be working with is looking out and looking in at the same time. Looking out, softly receiving input. Looking in, noticing, inward noticing. So we're looking out and we're looking in at the same time. Yeah. Outer awareness, inner awareness at the same time. And then sometimes we just let that go. So now if you want to move around, you can. So that whether that made perfect sense or intuitive sense or whatever kind of sense you more are attuned to or not, we can begin to sense how we can direct our attention, our awareness to a particular area inside. Yeah. Now, if you know, if that was helpful for you to imagine breathing in from some source of beautiful nature, then that's great. That's excellent. If that didn't work for you, and you imagined maybe light or color, that's great. And if that didn't work for you, if you can just imagine, and eventually you sense breath going somewhere in particular in your body, that's the greatest, right? Because what we're doing is we're just directing consciousness one place or another, here or there, depending on what might be needed. That's skillful. So if you imagine right now just breathing in and out of your right hand, when I do that, I don't have to, but I like to just turn my palm up. Just imagine breathing into your right hand. What does that feel like? Anybody sense it? What does it feel like? This, call it out and I'll say it again. Cool like a wind, yeah. Channeled. Calm, okay. Anybody feel heat? It might take a couple of times to get in sync with that, don't worry. If you don't feel it yet, you will if you keep trying. Because really all you're doing is harnessing your mind. So are we literally breathing in the hand? No. One time I was teaching, well, I used to teach, I started, sort of my, let's see, how can I phrase this? After I acquainted myself and, you know, got acquainted with Ajahn Amaro. One time I asked him if I said, you know, I'm seeing, I did a lot of retreats with him, and I said, you know, I see a lot of people in pain when they're sitting on these long retreats. If you've ever been on a, you know, silent retreat of any length, you know what I mean. And I said, you know, I think I could help. So remember, I came in through the door of Hatha Yoga. I said, you know, would you be interested in having me show people maybe a few stretches or just how to sit on the cushion? We didn't do chairs back then, believe it or not, too much. Some people did, but for some reason there was extra suffering because there were no chairs put out. And he said, sure. So I started to lead some movement classes, what I was calling mindful movement, on his retreats. And that's how I kind of got started integrating Buddhism into movement, into I would just incorporate his Dharma talks right into my teaching, my yoga class, and eventually it wasn't yoga anymore, it was just movement, and then eventually now it is what I'm doing now, which is the other way around, teaching meditation with some internal movement more than anything. But anyway, I got a little bit of reputation for doing that, and it was the first time ever at Spirit Rock and IMS they had ever had movement on retreat. And some people didn't think that was a very good idea. They thought it was, I was the entertainment. I was the distraction. That was okay. But a lot of people liked it, and a lot of people came. So word got around, and when I met my first Tibetan teacher, Sukhni Rinpoche, he said, "Oh, yes, I want you to come and teach on my retreats." So I did. And I started teaching on his retreats too. And he would tease me in his talks. And he would say, "Oh, Jill, Jill says, breathe into your kidneys. Ha 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 ha." He'd say, "Jill says, breathe into your legs. Ha ha ha." And he has this laugh like this, if you know who he is. He's got this great laugh. And, he kind of slap his leg. Ha ha ha. And, breathe into your shoulder. oh, that's just too weird. And then one time I was teaching him yoga privately. He had never done hatha yoga before, so I ended up teaching him. And I would say, Rinpoche, the reason I say breathe in here, breathe out there, is just to connect and, to do la 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 la. And I'm explaining it to him. This is when I was more naive than I am now. And I said, you probably know what I mean, right? I really, anyway, this is a long time ago, fortunately. I wouldn't say the same thing to him today. But he said, "Oh, yeah, I know what you mean." And he pulls up his sleeve, his robe, and he says, "Yeah, like this." And as he's pointing to his arm, the hair stands up and the goosebumps come up. And so where his finger is, that's where the goosebumps and the hair are going up. And then when the finger's up here, the hair is going down and the goosebumps are going down. I was like, "Oh my God." I mean, he had that much control over his subtle body that I can get the goosebumps to raise, but I've never been very good at putting the hair down. I was like, "Holy cow." It blew my mind. I thought, "Wow, if that's possible." So, needless to say, he was making fun of me, but he knew exactly what I was talking about. And so then, over the years, he started teaching it. "Okay, so breathe into your kidneys. Imagine breathing into your shoulder." He started adopting it, right? So I felt very, validated at that point. But it was a really interesting, experience that I never forgot about how subtle we can get when we move the wind or move the mind. And so don't doubt that that's possible, because it is. And a great deal of internal healing happens by bringing your mind, your wind, your breath, your breeze, your imagination, same idea, your chi, your lung, your energy to some place in your body and attending to it. So whether it's your hand or someplace inside, you're connecting. And that connection is something that we feel eventually. So it might start as imagination, but it will literally turn into the felt sense over time. Because what we repeat, we become. And so you know how a lot of the, if any of you practiced any Tibetan practices, there's a lot of visualization in it. And the visualizations are, for a lot of different reasons, a lot of very skillful different reasons. One is that they really create concentration. They're a concentration practice. But they also are to make our mind, our blend our mind essence with the essence of that which we're picturing or imagining or visualizing. So it's not to keep the visualization separate, or like the deity practice, separate from us, but it's to become one with the essence of what that deity represents. And so over time, it's the same, very same potential with intention. What we imagine and what we have as intentional, we become. It takes repetition. It takes some time, but it's possible. And so there's a great deal of healing on very many different levels that can occur. Sky is the limit. But the reason that I wanted to bring this to you today is because when anxiety is about to happen or just starting, those winds are getting kicked up until they're, you know, in control. Or we're out of control, the winds are in control, the weather. If we can sensitize ourselves, again, I said this earlier, to the body and what it's feeling, what it's sensing, then we start to feel when the body changes shape or shifts somehow in the breath, when it starts to contract or shut down, or however, you know, it might be manifesting for you. And we can attend to it then and not let it go to the extreme that it may. So when you deliver or bring your wind or the breeze or the breath, whatever you want to think of it as, to a particular part of your body that you feel sometimes gets hampered or tightened or is sort of the source of physical aspect of anxiety, if you do that over and over and over again, it soothes not just the body, it gives the body some space, it releases the tension. Space is good. Things move through space. They don't get caught, right? It's the opposite of contraction. It's the opposite of shutting down. And space in the body is like a smile on the face. So space in the body creates more space in the mind. Space in the mind goes to space in the heart. Everything like space. So it doesn't really matter which door we enter into. These are all different kinds of skillful means that we can utilize to work with what is. So keep doing what we were doing, and you'll have that at your fingertips eventually. So rubber hits the road practice is something that you have done a number of times, not just once. Okay? So you need to repeat, 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 repeat. But I encourage you to be really creative. You know, picture whatever you want coming in to help you. It doesn't matter. If you think something's helping you, it will. Any questions about that or thoughts before we move into something else? Yeah, Lenny, can you wait for the mic? Lonnie.
Is there some place where this is written down that you wrote an article or you did anything?
Not yet. That,
not yet?
But it'll be on
looking
the video.
Forward to it. It'll be on tape today, though.
Yeah.
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 Thank you.
I'm working on it. Yeah. I have a lot of meditation recordings around this theme on my website.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Hi.
You just said that...
Can you hold that up a tiny bit? Just hold it up a little.
Oh, okay. You said space in the mind creates space in the heart. Space in the body creates space in the mind, creates space in the heart. And it
well,
just,
it can kind of... It doesn't matter which way it comes in.
It doesn't matter which way? Okay.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah.
Because... anxiety for me is really what got my heart is all wrapped up and heat.
Uh-huh.
And I think bringing sometimes the attention there, the breath in there, just like when I was feeling it in my hand and you said, does anyone feel heat? Like it just seems sometimes to make more heat.
Uh-huh.
And then it's hard for it to, for me to feel like
yeah.
I can move. It's like right.
Yeah. So I don't, are you asking about breathing into it then?
Breathing, yes. Just, or is there certain places in the body breathing into, or, yeah, for me, it's just breathing into the heart is very, very challenging. And I didn't
yeah.
know if there was something helpful
yeah.
That you...
It's a really good question because it goes back to, I mentioned this earlier about, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's like, okay, walk directly into the discomfort. And there is a lot of benefit in that. Definitely. But sometimes we have to take a side door in before we get there, okay? And that's okay. I feel we need to talk about that and bring that forward much more than we are. Because if something's acute, that's not the time to walk into that fire, no matter how that fire is manifesting. If it's acute, that's a time to turn towards something else, okay? This is the time to use some skillful means. And there are a lot of them. But in the specific question that you asked, of, okay, so there's heat, the heart is what's, you know, feeling tight or put upon when you're anxious or you're feeling anxiety, then go someplace else. There are a number of things you can do. What I would suggest works with a little bit of the wind or the lung or the subtle body practice is to bring yourself down to the earth. So where in your body could you go besides, so let's say this is, you know, the heart area is doing its thing, it's on fire. How could you tend to another area of your body and not go directly into that, but would have the same effect as maybe moving into that directly?
Yeah, that was happening today. When we started today, I was, you know, you said, where are you feeling your breath? And I was feeling it very low, and I was feeling it kind of in my feet, very different than when I came in this morning.
Yeah.
But then you brought up something,
uh-huh.
and then it was there.
Okay.
And that was it. So, right. So instead of what I was trying to do is just kind of see if I could bring some ocean breeze in, and not so much. So... yeah, then the instruction would be to try to go back down to
exactly
the feet or just put myself on the cushion, seat, kind of
yep.
feeling my breath here.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So the lower the breath, and we're going to practice a little bit of this bowl breathing, sometimes called vase breathing. The lower the breath, the calmer we are. Now, if you're depressed, you wouldn't focus your breath down there because it's already down there and you'd want to raise it up. And a lot of times, as I think probably many of you experience, that anxiety and depression are like two sides of the same coin, you know, up, down, all around, woo, you know, they go hand in hand often. So when you're really depressed and you can't get going and you're, you know, having a rough time that way, then you want to bring breeze breath up, stimulate. Movement, you want to get some movement. When there's too much movement or too much heat, you want to cool it down, ground it, and that would be something that lowers it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so then you're tending to, I like to think of this part of the body, the pelvic bowl, as the soil, and the legs and the feet are kind of the root system. And then the central channel, if you will, or the spine is the stem, and then we bloom. So if you tend to the soil, the earth element of the body, and bring the breath lower, then you might feel that heat dissipate. And at the very least, what it does is it takes your mind out of it. Because what happens when something is disturbing is it hijacks us, or it can. And so what we're practicing is turning away from or turning towards as a choice, knowing what's skillful, when, and why. Now that is not denial. And that is also not spiritual bypassing. That's really important to remember. Because in terms of something that's acute or chronic, it's relentless. We know it. It's told us a number of times. It's knocked on the door a bazillion times. So we're not denying it. We already heard its voice. We felt it, you know, many, many times. That's knowing, okay, I don't want to go down that road right this moment. So I'm going to turn away from that. That's not denial. I'm not bypassing it. I know it quite well. But I'm going to make a kind choice now, and I'm going to go over here. And that is, you know, I mean, in common, more current vernacular, self-regulation. Self-care, kindness, compassion. And led by wisdom, because you know where that takes you now. Not to a great place. This is a great question. And it's a little similar to your question about the fist, isn't it? Can you see that? So sometimes what we think is unskillful or skillful, it's just maybe we need to just wrap our mind around it in a slightly different way. And this is why I urge creativity. Think out of the box. Push the practices. How can they help me? What would be best for me? Well, maybe if I fiddle with it this way or try it on upside down or imagine it like this. That's phenomenal. You know, if you really go back and look at some of the what the Buddha taught, and if you get to know any monastics well, then they'll start to tell you about different kinds of practices and how imagination works and how the subtle body can work. It's usually not talked about that much for a lot of good reasons, but I want to encourage you to be really creative with your practice. Not undisciplined and unruly with it necessarily, but creative. Okay? Yeah. And that's why, you know, teachers, living people, if you can work with someone who's alive right now, it's better than necessary than always reading a book or an app, because it's a call and response sort of thing. You say something to a teacher and they say, oh yeah, but what about try it like this? An app is good, but it can't do that yet. Maybe someday. But that's why we want to say these things out loud, and we want to ask people who've been doing something a little bit longer than us. Thank you. A really good question. Hi.
Hi. It's actually connected, I think. I was just thinking, and you I think responded to what part of what my question is when you were talking about turning away from what's acute and chronic is not denial, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's also an element of there's a question I have about, like, you know, the suppressing of a feeling, right? And then getting it stuck, right? The energy gets stuck when we do that.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking about sadness as different
mm-hmm.
from anxiety or...
Well...
Or and yet, I think for me at least, it gets all tangled up. So
yeah.
So it's how do we untangle mm. it in those moments and still let myself feel the sadness but not go diving into the anxiety?
Yeah, that's a really good question, very thoughtful. And quite nuanced, really. I would say little by little. So we learn to titrate. To step in and then step out. Step in, see how long we can tolerate it. How long can I be here? And then when it's time to go, you step out. You come back to something in the present moment. And I would include, like, talking to someone, having a tea, taking a walk, doing something that's pleasurable and kind. You know, not harmful, pleasurable, kind. And so that we learn to stay a little at a time. That's a process. It's not usually done all at once. I mean, maybe after hundreds of retreats it can be, yeah. But I think that we don't want to expect ourselves to get something in one shot, or one session, or one day even, or even one retreat. And to offer ourselves, that's where I like to think of kindness as being very malleable. It's like, okay, well, that didn't happen yet. And maybe I need to try it again, just for a little bit, but do it just so kindly. Because, you know, our emotions are very dear and tender, and there's so much vulnerability in feeling. And we might not be used to that. You know, vulnerability, oh. Vulnerability is hard to get used to. It's challenging. It takes a little while. But eventually, vulnerability, expressing it, feeling it, living with it, is incredibly courageous and strong, you know? So one step at a time. And I would also add one more thing, is to process it with someone that you trust and you feel safe with. Whether it be a teacher or a mentor or some acclaimed, trained psychologist or somatic practitioner, you know, is have someone with you. That's also really, really, really helpful. A lot of times we feel like, you know, I think a little bit embarrassed and, or I got to do everything by myself, you know, and picture the yogi just sitting there. Yeah, that can happen, but that might not be the best thing depending on what it is that we're experiencing. And so to allow ourselves that room for tenderness and spaciousness and softness might mean doing it with someone. Yeah, yeah, you're welcome. So one more question and then we'll move forward. Yeah, we're on.
I get confused about something. It seems to me that I often have all kinds of things going on seemingly at once. So I can feel very pleasurable about something right now and feel it, and at the same time I'm really disturbed about something else, and that's in a different part of my body, yeah, or a different part of my belly, or a different part of the chest, and then there's... Yeah. And then something else pops in, and then that other pleasurable feeling, and that's in here, and it's, and so I often wonder, well, just let this all be, and they'll just fight themselves out, or there's something that might come to the surface. I work with that, but I get confused. Why is all this going on all at once? And yeah. I mean, that doesn't seem like it's probably the truth scientifically. There are steps and things, and.
You, wait, say that last part. It doesn't seem
well,
true.
Well, in the science of how things are felt, and there are steps and thoughts, but they all sometimes it all seems happening all at once.
Yeah.
Within the body.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I mean,
is there just a hierarchy and just pick my moment and
yeah.
I mean,
well, it's kind of like walking into a party and there's lots of conversation going on. Who do you want to focus on?
I mean, do others have all these things going on at the same time? It's not just me.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are one thing at a time type beings. Yeah, yeah, no, it's all simultaneous, you know, and that's the bittersweet, that's the, you know, some experiences feel contradictory, but they're totally symbiotic. You know, pain can hold pleasure in it. Physical pain can actually be, there. You can find pleasure in physical pain. I mean, I'm not talking about inflicting pain on yourself, but I mean, I had this experience, for instance, with chronic pain for many years. When I dissected it down to its most elemental bits, you know, it felt this big, but it was literally just like a pinprick. It was just one tiny little area. Within that little tiny area, I could feel heat. I could feel coolness, I could feel vibration, I could feel tingling, which was actually pleasant. And so there's always a lot of causes and conditions arising and passing at the same time. Always at the same time. So it's really a matter of what you want to turn towards with the aperture of your awareness at any given time. It was interesting, we went to hear Norman Fisher the other night at the Village Zendo, and he's just written a book that's really interesting. The World Could Be Otherwise, and it's about imagination and the Bodhisattva path. I'm finding it incredibly inspiring, and I find him inspiring. And one thing he said that night was, he was talking about our sense of self. And he said, you know, really, when you boil it down, and I don't remember exactly how he said it, but when you boil it down, things are arising and passing simultaneously all the time. As one thing is arising, another thing is passing away. As something's passing away, something else is arising. And he said, so if that's our self, how can we pin it down? Does it exist? Does it not? You know, because it's our self, what we identify as our self, is arising and passing simultaneously. You know, hold that one in your mind for a little while. So there is a confluence of arising and passing away, causes and conditions, all the time. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Scary, joyful, you know. So aperture of awareness, like a camera lens in a sense. Do you want to narrow in on something? You want to widen out? Where do you want to turn? What do you want to look at? Where do you want to bring the light of your awareness at any given time? Yeah. Okay. Is it, yeah?
I'm finding this just a little bit confusing because I've always been taught, and this is my experience actually, that we can only be aware of one thing at a time. There may be many things going on at one time,
right?
But we actually can only be aware in each moment of one thing. You know, so we're not like both angry and sad at the same time. We might be angry for one moment and then very quickly sad for the next moment, micro moment even, but it's not... That's just what I was taught it for.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what, that is how I experience things. So just kind of a little confused.
I think it depends on the quality of your awareness and concentration on one thing or another. So let's say you walk out onto the street. You can be aware of cars, people, the air, the light in the sky. Now, are you completely connecting with each one of those things in terms of being mindful? No. But our awareness can be quite broad and take in a whole landscape, right? And be spacious, even. And then we can then hone in and really connect and be mindful of one thing at a time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. All these are good questions.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.